Welcome everyone, this is Rafael Hernandez and you are listening to Believe in Barcelona. Yes, I have changed the name of the podcast, not only that, but now I am part of the Believe Podcast Network. Really thrilled to have this opportunity to collaborate and be part of the Believe community, and I'm really looking forward to building many interesting partnerships with Believe's help. So guys, this is all to make the podcast better, and I'm really excited for the things to come. Well, aside from that, let us begin. And today I will be only discussing El Clásico. Initially I was planning to talk about many more things, but all things considering, I think it's better if I just focus entirely on the defeat, because it was quite painful. Losing El Clásico is really painful, but the manner of the defeat was really, really worrying, and it was the first time since 1978 that Real Madrid won three Clásicos in a row. So yeah, if I start to just put out negative stats about El Clásico for Barcelona, everyone will simply not hear the end of it. And it's not that important, but it just shows that Barça have been a lot more dominant in El Clásico than we could think. And I think that we do take El Clásico for granted. I would say that we did a lot, and now that the tides have turned on us, the way that we treat El Clásico has changed too. It's a lot more meaningful to us as it once was. But it's part of the appeal of this fixture, because when you're winning all the time and thrashing Real Madrid, it's easier to take a Clásico loss, even if it's a bad one. But the moment that we start to miss great performances by Barcelona and El Clásico, things change and we want to see them again. So first things first, I would say that Barça really lost momentum because of the international break. I really hate the international break. I've said it many, many times, and I will keep saying it. I simply refuse to watch matches, international matches, during it, because the quality overall is painful, at least in my opinion. And I don't think that there's any room for international football in the middle of the football club's season. It's just something that I understand why we have them, but I really dislike them. So, and this is one of the reasons. Usually what happens is the international break ends up with injuries for the main clubs and the loss of momentum, which is what we saw with Barça, not only against Real Madrid, but also against Valladolid. And we already saw a struggling Barcelona against Valladolid, and that Dembele last minute goal was incredible. But overall, it was already coming, and it's really, and momentum is simply something part of the sport. You get a great run of results and you don't want to stop them, and the footballers get more confident, the coach too. So things get, I wouldn't say easier, but if you actually kick the ball downhill, it's easier to just, it's just going to keep going forward until it reached the bottom. And I would say, unfortunately, the international break was the bottom for Barça. And this defeat was painful, but it was also a back-to-reality defeat rather than a shocking result. Barça is yet to perform in a really big and meaningful match this season. We had the thrashing that we suffered to Juventus at home this season. We had the Clásico loss at the Camp Nou. We had Atlético Madrid beating us. We had the defeat against Atlético Bilbao in the Super Cup final. and now this Clásico defeat. So it, and of course the both of the PSG matches too, especially the first one, it was absolutely embarrassing to lose it like that. But overall, I would say that the decent run of the results in lesser matches and the comeback against Sevilla actually put us in the moods and expectations that don't reflect reality. So I would say that the most glaring win, the most incredible win, was the one against Real Sociedad. Absolutely incredible, that match. It was the best Barcelona match in almost two years. We can't take that from the players or Koeman. But Real Sociedad are one thing, and Real Madrid and the other big clubs are other. And we saw in the Clásico the difference between both things. I would say that Zidane is simply ate Koeman alive again. Zidane did his thing. He actually benched Asensio because he was a little bit hurt by Thiago during the Liverpool match. So it wasn't entirely tactical. It was more of a necessity changes. But Federico Valverde actually playing on midfield made things harder for Barca. And Koeman's decision to actually start Araujo in a back three really backfired big time. When I saw the lineup, I wasn't expecting Araujo to struggle, but we hadn't seen him playing a back three yet, and Araujo simply isn't quick enough to play in a back three, and we saw it. His positioning was all over the place. He made many mistakes that he hadn't made for the entire season. So I'm not going to put this on the player. I would say it's more on the coach, because he risks a lot there. Maybe things could have been done differently. And honestly, what really hurt me the most was the fact that for the final 30 minutes of the match, Real Madrid stopped playing because Zidane decided to. He subbed off Benzema, Vinicius and all of the key players and basically brought on Odriozola, Mariano, and Isco and Marcelo, and it was really embarrassing for Barca. In case you don't know, these players are absolutely dead weight at Real Madrid right now. Real Madrid were pretty much losing most of the matches that Marcelo started for the past year or so, and Isco is overweight and absolutely off form. He was woeful against Barca. Odriozola's career at Real Madrid never started, so. And Madrid and Mariano, of course, I don't really have to say anything about him. He's just a mediocre player. He's even worse than Braithwaite in terms of quality as a footballer. So yeah, Zidane simply was so confident on this match, on this win, that he simply removed his best players and subbed on some of his worst players just because of the Liverpool match. The return match at Anfield this week, and it worked. It was maddening. And on the other hand, you had Koeman. Koeman simply subbed on Sergio Roberto for Busquets, which was an absolutely ridiculous decision to do, because Sergi simply hadn't played for nearly 4 months, and then you sub him on a Clásico. I would say that he didn't do anything that bad, but why? Why do it? It was something that I simply cannot agree. So, of course, Koeman also did that thing that he does when Barcelona are trailing in the scores, and subbed on lots of attackers. And football isn't FIFA, football isn't Football Manager. There's a lot more to tactics and a lot more nuance to this thing that simply subbing on forwards to because you need to score a goal. And this is Barcelona we are talking about. And it didn't work. Maybe if Elias hadn't hit the post, he actually scored in the final minute, or Ter Stegen had actually gotten that volley in, we wouldn't be saying that, but I still would be, because I have really criticized Koeman for the entire season for his really amateurish substitutions. when Barcelona need a goal, and it's never that simple. Okay, of course, you want to increase your possibilities of a goal, you bring more forwards, but it's never that simple with football. You have the midfield, of course, and Real Madrid had Kroos and Modric, so, and Casemiro, of course, so it didn't really work. Barcelona were simply kicking the ball forward and seeing what happened, pointlessly crossing. It really didn't work. And overall, I would say that Real Madrid have a weaker squad than Barcelona right now, but they are a better team. And you can really see that because Sergio Ramos and Varane both missed the match yesterday. You had Militão, who has had a really poor start to his Real Madrid career, and Nacho, who is simply a squad player, really defending well. And it's not because they're world-class players or they did perform well individually, but Real Madrid are really tight together. They really defended together, they attacked together, and it clearly showed that they have a lot more cohesiveness than Barca, and really a lot more confidence and experience too, from what we see. So yeah, there's a lot of factors that led to this defeat. Let's say that Zidane subs on all of Real Madrid's poor players and Barca comes back and wins 3-2. Maybe Koeman would be taken as a genius and all, but in my opinion, he wouldn't, and I would still be here, of course, celebrating the win, but saying that things could have been done better, even if we had won, because we need to be honest with ourselves and separate credits for to a great performance and simply luck. And it's what happened, and a good example of that was simply Manchester City's recent defeat to Leeds. Leeds only had 2 shots on targets and they scored both goals, and Manchester City had over 20 shots and only scored once. And we had the Bayern Munich PSG match too, where PSG came actually close to scoring only 3 times and they scored on all of and they scored 3 goals. Meanwhile, Bayern Munich had 31 shots, a lot more expected goals too. So football isn't about fairness, but we have to be able to give credit where it's due, but also recognize that there's a lot more, that the margins are really thin, and there's a lot more that happens to football than basically getting your tactics right or and all of the basics that we are used to. And I want to make an individual assessment of each Barcelona player during the El Clásico. Ter Stegen, I think that he should have done better on both goals. I'm not on the camp that Ter Stegen is to blame for everything bad that happens to Barca. It's really ungrateful to a goalkeeper that is literally the reason that Barca hasn't gone 2, 3, or even 4 years without a trophy rather than one. But he still got things wrong. He could have been better positioned for the Benzema's goal, but maybe it's asking too much. But the second goal, it's not asking too much. The positioning of the barrier was really poor. And why was even Alba covering the post? We all know that Alba isn't exactly tall. He's actually very short, and it didn't make any sense. It was really unfortunate too, but the moment that you leave the door open to mistakes, there's a possibility that you're going to pay for it, and Barca did. Dest, I wouldn't blame Dest that much for cross goal there, but maybe, again, better positioning of the barrier was necessary. He could have defended better too during the match, but he actually did some good attacking plays, and I would say that him being substituted so soon for the second half was a bit unfair with him. He's been a good to great debut season for Dest, and we have to remember that he's really, really young, so we should be really, really fair too. And speaking of fullbacks, Jordi Alba, once again, he's been very poor defending for the entire season, and it's unforgivable. He has a lot of attacking contributions, absolutely, but his defending, and he always leaves a lot of space behind his back, and he doesn't track back enough. And Benzema's goal was a perfect example. And he simply stopped running at some point there and simply lets Benzema position himself and score. And it was really poor. And of course, I really cannot agree with Alba's play acting. He pretended that Modric had hit his head on his face, and it's really unfair with Modric. I really don't like play acting, if it's from my team or for anything really. And Mingueza was the best on pitch for Barca. He made some mistakes at the back, absolutely, but he was still courageous. He never hid. He kept attacking. He scored a goal. It was a bit fortunate that he scored that, absolutely, but he did score a goal, and he never stopped trying. He never stopped running. And I had some doubts about the kid before, but now I think that he deserves a place in the first team to prove himself. I'm not entirely sure if he has enough quality to be a starter for Barca, but he has enough quality to be counted on, at least as a valuable sub like Nacho is for Real Madrid. He deserves a lot of credit for yesterday. De Jong and Lenglet performed better than expected. I'm not going to put much blame on them for the goals. Lenglet was a bit error-prone, but nothing that can really lead to criticism. And De Jong was really... He made many progressive carryings during the match. He basically carried the ball forward a lot. So, yeah, overall, nothing to complain about him. And Busquets had a decent match. And Pedri really struggled. And once again, Pedri is overwhelmed by the occasion of the Clásico. He was already poor at the Camp Nou last October. We have to... It's not an issue. He's only 18 years old, but he really gets overwhelmed by the Clásico. And it's part of the game. He's still young, and imagine being 18 years of age and already playing a Clásico. So, yeah, maybe he should have been eased in, but I'm not going to say that Koeman made a mistake by starting him. I'm not going to be unfair like that. Absolutely not. And Pedri deserves a lot of credit and respect. He earned to start a Clásico. But he also performed poorly, and it's not a problem to say it. And I would say that Messi too had a very poor Clásico, and the situation with Messi, as it is in recent Clásicos, is the same. Messi cannot rely enough on his teammates, and Real Madrid already knows that Messi is always playing in the middle, so they can basically crowd the middle of the pitch and the front of their own box, and Messi isn't going to have many chances. So this will sound a little bit like harsh criticism to Messi, but it's not. But Zidane and Real Madrid basically have figured out how Messi plays in Clásicos, and it's like not a single coach since Luis Enrique has actually tried to make changes to how Messi plays in Clásicos. So we have had Messi having many frustrating Clásico performances, and I would say it's more of a tactical issue rather than Messi making many mistakes. I'm not going to criticize him much, of course, because Messi is still carrying us for the entirety of the year. We are fighting for titles because of Messi too. And Dembele was really awful once again. And Dembele goes and plays another big high-profile match for Barcelona and underperforms massively. He was very poor. He kept losing the ball. He kept making poor passing decisions. It was an all-round awful performance. And I know that many fans really adore Dembele and really have faith that he's going to come out good. but I'm not sure. Maybe it's time to renew his contract first and look for another club to sign him up. Maybe it's time for Barca to cut their losses and move on. I'm not sure that he can do it. He's having a better season than he's ever had at Barca. Yes, but it's still not enough. He has to step up. And of course, he likes Moriba. The kid really has a lot of personality. He comes on in a Clásico. He fights for every ball. Two players start fighting and he goes to separate them. This guy is impressive as it gets. I'm really optimistic about his long-term career at Barca. And honestly, if he had scored that goal, the equalizer against Real Madrid in the final seconds, it would have been, I would say, the most special moment of the entire season. It's a shame that didn't happen, but I love everything that happens when this guy is on pitch. He has my full support and I'm really, really excited to see how his long-term career at Barca will develop. To cap things off, I want to talk a little bit about the officiating. And Gil Manzano is an absolute disgrace. In case you don't know, the thing that loses the most when Gil Manzano officiates their matches is Levante. And the second thing that loses the most when Gil Manzano is officiating is Barcelona. Even Espanyol wins more when Gil Manzano is the main referee for the match. So this guy is really awful, and maybe it would have been better that Mateo Larroz didn't get injured, but we all know that Larroz is awful. So it was really an embarrassment. And of course, we had the recording of Manzano actually telling Messi that he doesn't know the rules of football. So yeah, he's just an arrogant guy. He was laughing at Piqué's fakes at full time. Overall, I really wish that this guy never officiates another Barcelona match again. And speaking of which, I want to talk about a little bit about a penalty. I think it was a penalty on Bright White there, but I understand why it wasn't signaled. It's the kind of penalty that if Gil Manzano signals, he's going to get slaughtered by the Madrid media for weeks, maybe even years. So yeah, we know how things work in Spain. It's always the same thing. So yeah, overall it was really awful. And of course, it's something that I've been observing with El Clásico for the past few years. You have ever realized that anytime there's a little bit controversial mistake on Real Madrid's side, it's like the referee makes some kind of decision that makes a lot of difference on the score sheet in terms of the match report. So Casemiro getting sent off in the final minutes was really opportunistic of them, because you have the final score sheet. Real Madrid won 2-1 against Barca. Even Casemiro was sent off. So it puts a lot more. It's like the match was more equal, and look, the referee wasn't poor for Barca. He even sent off Casemiro. So you see how things work. It's overall, Spanish football is really, I prefer to not say anything else. You already know what I could say. So Real Madrid's arrogance and confidence at full time is simply everything that Barca once had at this fixture. Modric teasing Piqué and Sergio Ramos laughing, and Gil Manzano laughing too at Piqué's face. So yeah, this kind of thing, it really hurts, because Barca dominated El Clásico for well over 10 years, and Real Madrid are turning the tide around. It really hurts, and Barca really needs a lot more confidence. People got mad at me when I said that Real Madrid has the psychological edge over Barcelona. I said it before El Clásico, and I think that this match actually proved it. It's a shame. I think that we can turn this around, but we are talking about the thing that has constantly collapsed in the Champions League for years and years. So yeah, there's a lot to work to be done. And I would say that the real rebuild hasn't really started yet. There's a lot of dead weight at the club. Coutinho is injured for God knows how long. I'm not really sure if Griezmann is the right player for Barcelona yet. Maybe if I was in Laporta's place, I would actually try to sell Griezmann. So it's really tough. And honestly, once again, guys, I really don't think that Koeman is the right coach for Barcelona. He has done a decent job this season. Yes, he has actually he's actually coaching Barcelona at the club's worst situation in nearly 20 years. Yes, and he has performed better than I expected, judging from November and December. Yes. But he's not good enough. Barcelona has performed really badly in the big matches this season. We have to move on. We need a better coach. And I really fear that if Koeman stays for another season, we are going to be wasting another season of Messi if Messi stays. And I'm really confident that Messi will stay. So I'm not even going to talk as if it was Messi's last Clásico. Absolutely not. He's going to stay. I'm confident of that. And this is what you're getting from me today, guys. I don't think that Barca can win La Liga. I already had my doubts before this match, but I don't think it's possible. This is between Real Madrid and Atletico, and I think that Atletico are going to throw everything away. So we might see Real Madrid actually retain La Liga. It would be really painful because they haven't deserved it. But we can't really say that Atletico or Barca have. So yeah, it's likely a season to forget. Let's just hope that we actually win the Spanish Cup, at least a trophy to end this season in a high. See you guys on social media. Take care, my friends.